Basketball saved my life, honestly.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Make sure you are checking out Basketball Monster. We have our playoff DFS projections up over there, and check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network by checking out our new site, lockedonsports.com, with links to all articles and podcasts right across that network. What we're going to be doing in today's show is previewing Tuesday's three-game NBA playoff DFS slate. So, Michael Bolton,
let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We will talk about those three games that will be going down on Tuesday. The first one of those we're going to look at is, who is it? It is the Washington Wizards and the Toronto Raptors. Let's start by looking at how game one went. The Raptors ended up with an 8-point victory. The Wizards were ahead of that one at halftime. A decently close game, but in the end, the Raptors got over the line by 8 points. But in terms of looking at how everything can potentially pan out, I think one of the more intriguing things is the fact that Marcin Gortat played 29 minutes while Kelly Oubre played only 16, as the Wizards went with a bigger lineup most of the time. We also had 27 minutes of Mike Scott getting those minutes over Oubre. Oubre's minutes had been trending down towards the end of the regular season as well, and we saw that continue here. We also saw a minimization of Tomas Satoransky, who played only 12 minutes, basically only got backup minutes behind John Wall instead of playing at the two or at the three, even with Jody Meeks suspended. So that was a little bit of a surprise as well. I'm not sure we see 27 minutes out of Mike Scott again. He did shoot 7 out of 10 in this game, which obviously boosted up some of his value. It's also a weird Mike Scott game where he takes exactly 0 3-pointers, and I don't expect that to continue, nor do I think that 29 minutes for Gortat is going to be an every night phenomenon. On the Raptors side of things, they were without Fred VanVleet, so that saw a bump in minutes to the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
It also saw DeLon Wright play 25 minutes. And we saw interesting things, like the way that the bench was used during the regular season. It wasn't the same in this game. Pascal Siakam, only 16 minutes. Jakob Poeltl, only 15 minutes, with Ibaka pushing to 33. Lowry at 38 minutes. DeRozan at 35 minutes. We also saw Bebo Nogueira play 9 minutes in the second half, as Valanciunas only got 23 minutes in this game. So some interesting, I guess, changes in how that they ran their rotation. So we'll look at, obviously rotations aren't necessarily going to be the same between game one and game two, but it was a bit of a change up from the way that both of these teams used things in the regular season. Let's get into talking about the DFS value that could present itself in this game. Let's look at the point. In terms of injuries, we still don't know about Fred VanVleet's status. That's really the only injury that we need to pay any attention to. And if he is out again, we look to more DeLon Wright, a little bit of Norman Powell, who only played a handful of minutes in game one, and some more minutes for the Jedi, for CJ Miles also. The point guards, I still think that Kyle Lowry is underpriced at 7,300. He only had 29 in that game one, but I think a realistic expectation for Lowry is, getting close to 40, 37, 38 points. And I'd be going back to that well with him again. Again, he is still underpriced. He's gone up since game one, but still not at a level where I think it disqualifies him from being used. Whereas John Wall's price has gone up to a situation which does make it a little bit tougher. 9,800 for Johnny. He did drop 62 points in that first game, no problem in using him at all. But when you're spending an extra $2,500 on Wall versus Lowry, I think the value sits with Lowry. But if you've got the extra money, you spend up and go get Wall, because getting 45, 46 out of Wall feels like a decent floor level. Plus, he does, of course, have that 60-point upside. Freddie VanVleet's at 4,200. With the way the Raptors use that bench, and VanVleet often does close games, but I'm not certain that he is going to be a value play at that price. Well, DeLon Wright at 4,100. Excellent. 33 points in game one. And if VanVleet is out, I'd be happy to go back to that at 4,100. Whereas Satoransky at 38, hated the way they used him. and that's not giving us much confidence. DeRozan, like Lowry, except a shooting guard, he is a little bit underpriced as well, with a slightly disappointing game one. 26.5 points there for DeMar. At 7,400, him getting to 35 or 36 points feels like it should almost be a fait accompli. That 26 points that he had in game one was the lowest he'd had in his last five games, and you can scream out, oh, it's the playoffs and DeRozan always sucks. And yeah, look, he has struggled at times, but I think that is still a reasonable price to pay for him, especially when you got Beal on the other side at 8,000. Again, I would take that $600 discount that I can get to get DeRozan into my team. Now, Beal was solid, but he only scored 35 in 41 minutes in game one. And I think that spending that money up on DeRozan is a better option than Beal here with the FanDuel pricing. The small forwards, Otto Porter, is down really low, 5,600 for Porter. And while I'm never a big fan of him when he comes in at 7,000 or 7,200, at 5,600, I think that's pretty tough to get to go past. Now, the defense of defending small forwards has been a strength of the Raptors. Ananobi's been strong there. But I still think 5,600's a decent number. Oh, it's a really good price for Otto Porter, and I do like him quite a bit here, especially with some other high-priced guys in other games around, like Davis and Lillard in that New Orleans-Portland game. Getting some cheaper value is going to be is really important. CJ Miles is a minimum salary guy, always worth looking at because he can go out there and knock down six threes. That's probably a 1 in 10 chance, but that's what you're looking for in GPP as well. Oubre at 44 and Anobi at minimum salary, probably not guys that I'd be super interested in. Oubre at 44, he'd want to play more than the 16 minutes that he played last game, but really not someone you can rely upon. Markieff Morris is at $6,000. He played 38 minutes in game one and had 44 points. They've been relying upon him a lot more recently to the detriment of Oubre, and it is working out pretty well for him and for the team in general. I think $6,000 for Markieff is fine. He wouldn't be my number one guy that I'd lock into a lineup. I still think there is quite a bit of value there in using him, or definitely a guy that you should be considering. Well, Serge Ibaka at 6,100 exploded. It's been a disappointing season for Ibaka this year, but when he comes in and drops 44 FanDuel points in 33 minutes at 6,100, it is hard to not consider that an option. Mike Scott's minimum, if he's going to get 27 minutes, I do imagine he takes more than 0 3-pointers, which could really bump him up to become a 24, 25, 30-point DFS guy if he gets hot. If that rotation sticks, he is worth looking at that minimum salary price. So he is worth taking a look at. Not that interested in Siakam. For the centers, Gortat's at 43. A lot of minutes, not a lot of production, just 19 points. But if he gets those minutes, he can have one of those nights where he pulls in big rebounding numbers or is really efficient offensively, and that could make him a GPP guy. Centers against the Raptors have been playing fairly well recently as well. While Valanciunas is at 5,800, the lower minutes, the price still too high. Probably not a spot I'm looking at. Mihinmi, Noguera, Poeltl as your backups here. Maybe I'd look at Jakob at 4,200, but I wouldn't be looking all that closely at getting in on him. If we look at this one over on DraftKings, very similar type situations, except I think that the 9,100 for John Wall does really cement him as a super strong play. DeRozan, Lowry, Markieff, and Otto Porter are all looking strong on DraftKings as well, similar to how they look on FanDuel, whereas Bradley Beal is at 6,800. So he goes from a guy that I'd probably fade on FanDuel to a guy that I'd almost definitely lock in over on DraftKings at 6,800. So some superb value there for those guys. I think Mike Scott at 36 and the Jedi at 32 might be some flyer type options that you could take if you're looking for those cheap guys. Well, Serge Ibaka coming in at 56 is also a pretty appealing option there on DraftKings. If we look at it over on Yahoo, Gortat and Fred VanVleet both come in as minimum salary guys. I think that Marchin at minimum salary, you could definitely use that in cash, and I think you should absolutely consider it. $10, worth a look. VanVleet at $10, more of a tournament guy. I like Markieff, DeRozan, Lowry, and Johnny Wall at 3,900 is a decent guy to spend up for. But players like Beal and Porter, they don't have anywhere near as much value on Yahoo as what they do on DraftKings and FanDuel, in my opinion, of course. Let's flick it over now and look at the next game. It's the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. Let's take a look at how game one went here. Obviously, this was an overtime performance. Big minutes for Giannis, big minutes for Chrissy Middleton. Decent minutes for Eric Bledsoe, although he was limited by foul trouble and ended up fouling out. But I think one of the interesting things we take away here is Johnny Henson playing 37 minutes. Joe Prunty had been really into playing Henson larger minutes for as soon as Jason Kidd got fired, and we saw that, and it continued. Brogdon also, in I think his third game back, played 32 minutes, while Matty Dellavedova was out of the rotation. Street Hunger, Brandon Jennings was out of the rotation as well, and Jason Terry only saw the 18 minutes there. The other big interesting factor here was just how shit Jabari Parker was. Only 15 minutes for Jabari, and it's unlikely he plays just 15 minutes, but the trend of him in the regular season was playing 30-31 in those last 5-6 games. So interesting to see how they balance that, but that was not how I expected that to go down, with Brogdon taking a lot of Jabari's minutes there and Henson getting some of that extra playing time. On the Boston side of things, 40-plus minutes for Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford, and they all responded with huge nights, while Marcus Morris was big off the bench. That were their main five guys, while Bainsey and Greg Monroe saw their minutes dip from what they did recently in the regular season, giving more of those minutes to Morris and Horford in that front court, with Ogilvy and Larkin taking up the rest of the bench rotation. So now I feel pretty confident about the way the Celtics ran that rotation in that game as well. If you look at this on FanDuel, let's go. Actually, what's the spread here? The Celtics are favored by 2.5, and the total is the lowest of the three games at 197, but of course the last game went to overtime, so who knows how that's all going to balance out. We know that Marcus Smart's out, Kyrie's out, Gordon Hayward is out, Milwaukee doesn't have any injury concerns that is going to have any impact on us here. At point guard, Terry Rozier is at 7,500, played a ton of minutes, had 35 points in that first game, and I think you can consider him a relatively safe option at point guard. There's probably better ways to do it. I would prefer Lowry, for example, over Rozier, but I still think that he is worth going at. Whereas Bledsoe at 8,000, that's quite a lot. Now, we know Bledsoe can do good things, but the Celtics in a low-paced game and their really good point guard defense is a problem, and there are much better ways, I believe, of spending that money than spending on an Eric Bledsoe. Shane Larkin, yeah, don't really see too much there from him. At shooting guard, Jaylen Brown's at 6,400. I think for Jaylen Brown, that's almost right on where it needs to be, meaning it's not a great value play. It's much stronger for cash than in tournaments. I'm not expecting Jaylen to go out and have 50. In fact, his highest score for the entirety of the regular season is only 42 points. So he's not a high upside guy. And you could consider him a decently safe floor play, which makes him okay for cash. I just don't see a huge amount there at that price. Well, Chrissy Middleton, he's at 8,400. Now, was obviously excellent in game one, dropping 56 points. I think I'm not totally sold on that as being one of the better guys on the slate. Tone Snell's minimum salary, played a lot of minutes, had 7 points. That is the absolute Tone Snell special. So there, that's a strong pass from me. At small forward, you got Jace Tatum at 7,200, and you got Yanni Adetokounmpo at 11,200. You gotta love Yanni. You feel like you're going to get 55 out of him almost no matter what. As for Tatum at 7,200, I would much prefer Jaylen at 6,400 over Tatum at 7,200. But I also feel like you're going to get, around 30-32 out of Tatum, which is not a bad floor. The minutes will be solid. The usage will be solid. The role will be solid. So you can have a decent level of reliance upon what Tatum is going to do. I just don't think that spending that much is probably the number one option on your board. Marcus Morris at 5,500 at power forward. Really, really interesting play there. Exceeded that value in game one. I think that he's worth looking at, but he does have some of those shitful shooting nights, which can be a problem. But I've been a big detractor of Marcus Morris, but I give him credit. Over the last month, 2 months, he's been very consistent and really, really good. And that should give you a decent level of confidence. You got the Muppet John Henson as well at 5,500. Do they go more to Jabari? Do they go more to Giannis at center? That's a possibility, and that could really limit what the Muppet does. He's at 55. He had 31 in that game one, and that makes him a tournament guy, but I don't have the full confidence that he's going to go out there and play 37 minutes like he did in game one, whereas Jabari Parker's at 49. It was obviously horrible in game one. If you're going to use him, it's going to be a tournament. People will be off him, and I don't hate it as a GPP play in case they go back to that 31 minutes of Jabari Parker. But the Celtics bothered him quite a bit, offensively and defensively, and that's the reason for the lower minutes. Horford's at $8,000, and for all the shit that Al Horford gets, he's been really strong lately and was obviously excellent in game one, and centers against the Bucks has been a really interesting area to attack pretty much all season. So I like Horford, but I don't think that at 8,000 he is a shoe-in cash sort of a guy. It's still quite a bit of a large outlay to take him at that sort of a price. And then you've got Bainesy and Greggy Munro.
As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
I could consider Bainesy at 4,000, but I probably wouldn't. It would be a weird multi-tournament lineup sort of a setting to go with him. Tyler Zeller, no. On DraftKings, if you're looking at how this plays out, you know, I like Rozier. Horford at 73 is at a much better spot for cash value. Jaylen at 6,000, I really like. Bledsoe comes in way stronger at 6,500, and I would consider him for cash. I would definitely use him in tournaments, but I would think that becomes a cash option, as does Tatum at 7,300. Big, big price differences. I also love Brogo there at 4,300. Really strong option. Marcus Morris, probably not as exciting as what he looks over on FanDuel at 58. Yanni at 10.6 is strong. And the Muppet, John Henson at 46, I think is also in a pretty strong spot. This is, despite the low total for the game, this is a fairly stackable sort of game on DraftKings just because of the way the salaries line up. If you look at it over on Yahoo, Jaylen's at 21, Rozier, Henson, Horford, and Brogdon. I think they're all fairly strong-ish cash guys. Tatum at 23 is not bad. I'm still not totally sold on that. I think Middleton and Yanni in particular are overpriced. Adetokounmpo comes in at 5,200. It comes in at $52, and I think that might be just a little bit too highly priced over on Yahoo. All right, let's go in now to the last game of the day. It's the New Orleans Pelicans upset winners in game one over the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers are back being favorite 6.5 points with a total of 214. Mo Harkless has been upgraded to questionable. Now, Mo's coming off knee surgery, and if he plays, I don't imagine he's coming in and playing 30 straight away. Maybe around 17 to 21 minutes would be my guess, taking some of those minutes away from Pat Connaughton, who played in game one, and reducing a little bit of Evan Turner's playing time if Mo happens to be ready to go. At point guard, Dame Lillard was hounded by Jrue Holiday in game one and still dropped 43 points in 42 minutes. But the rest of this game, it was really... Let's start from the Pelicans side, get back to the Blazers. Davis was excellent, as he always is. Mirotić put up 2 steals and 4 blocks and a ton of minutes. No Emeka Okafor, limited minutes for Solomon Hill. We had at least 39 minutes from Rondo, Holiday, Mirotić, and Davis. So that's obviously the core four guys they're going for at this point. And then you had Etuan Moore and Ian Clark being the pseudo fifth guy together. I think Moore's in line for more minutes next game as opposed to Clark, but Clark, for some reason, has a really good record against Portland, while Cheick Diallo got those backup center minutes, getting 10 of those behind Davis as they went exclusively with Davis at center and didn't run him really at all with any of the other big men, maybe for a couple of seconds here or there, but really not much at all for him in that scenario. On the Blazers side of things, Yusuf Nurkic didn't get a huge amount of playing time, only 25 minutes, as Zach Collins pushed to 22 minutes, and Eddie Davis also got 20 minutes. That's always likely to fluctuate. Nurkic can get into foul trouble. He can have bad nights, but can also have big nights, but that's a fluctuation point there. While Shabazz Napier only got 14 minutes of action and was actually saw Pat Connaughton get more playing time, and Napier's not a guy that it looks like he's going to push towards, you know, 20, 22 minutes or anything along those lines. While the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu,
sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
He was shit. 7 points and 7 rebounds in those 30 minutes for Aminu. Point guard battle in this one from a DFS point of view. Lillard, has said at 9,800, put up some decent numbers there, and I think he's really fine to go back to, whereas Rondo at 6,400 has been putting up big minutes and pretty big numbers and put up 42 points in game one while scoring just 6 real-life points. So I think that he is worth looking at, especially with the way Gentry's running those rotations. You've got Napier and Ian Clark as the other point guards here. Clarkie at 3,800 is a GPP guy. He can get some extra minutes. We saw him play 24 in game one, but he's not a consistent enough producer. CJ McCollum's at 7,100. Just always feels like he's been off this year. I'm not into using him here. He had 33 or 32 in game one in 38 minutes, and Holiday was a real concern there. As for Jrue at 8,300, I feel like you're going to get around 39 to 40 out of him every game. I'm pretty happy to go back to using Drew again here. Not my number one shooting guard option. I would much rather take DeMar DeRozan, as I talked about earlier, but Holiday is still a pretty good option in this one. The small forwards, Etuan Moore's at 4,600, really minimized in game one, but I think that he could be an interesting tournament guy who can go out there, hit big amounts of threes, get some steals, get some assists as well, but only be a tournament guy. Evan Turner's a no-go. Mo Harkless, Solly Hill, Darius Miller. I don't really see much from any of those guys. But if I'm going to take one, it would be Miller and his ability to hit random threes out of nowhere as a minimum salary guy. But yeah, not looking at him as a strong recommendation. The Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu, is at 4,800. That's obviously very cheap for Aminu. His production has been waning, 21 average over the last five, meaning he's in a streak of shit. But we know he can be good at some point. So that makes him an interesting tournament guy because when he goes big, he can have these wild 6 3-pointer games with 12 rebounds and 3 blocks and 4 steals. And you go, shit, where did this come from? And then he has 2 points and 2 boards. So that makes him an ultimate GPP sort of an option. Eddie Davis at minimum salary. He's listed as a power forward. He had 24 points in 20 minutes in game one and could easily be the center and get those minutes if Nurkic struggles again or gets into foul trouble. And then you got Nick Mirotic, who I love what he's been doing, but at $8,000, I have zero confidence in that. Yeah, he's averaging over 50 points over his last five games, including 51 in game one. But I'm not really sure at 8,000 I'm ready to lock that in. And then you've got Tone Davis, who's at 12,700. Now, we love what Tone does. You're going to get 60 out of him, it feels like, most nights. 12,7 is a pretty hefty price, but it's hard to go past. Now, the reason I think he's probably more tournament than cash is, can you find enough reliable guys around him at 12,7 at cheap enough prices to fit it into a cash lineup? That's the real concern, because if you're going at it and putting then Shabazz Napier or Ed Davis around him in cash, I have no reliability in those guys really to be those cash options, making it not a great cash play. But if you can find those cheap guys, then sure, go at it. At center position, Yusuf Nurkic is at 8,300. That is way too high for cash. I want nothing to do with it. He can comfortably do it. He can have 60. But there's no way that I would want to spend $8,300 on Nurkic in cash. While Zachy Collins is a minimum salary player who played very well in game one, had 24 points, but I'm not sure the upside's high enough to really consider him much of a cash option. On DraftKings, McCollum at 67 definitely comes into consideration. That price is fine to use him. Lillard is strong. Tone Davis at 11.4. That's cashy. That's real cashable. And Drew at 77 also has some pretty strong value. Etuan Moore and Nurkic, decent tournament guys. In fact, Nurk comes in at 7,000, which is way more appealing than how he appears on FanDuel. And the Chief at 5,100, of course, always just going to be that GPP sort of a guy. On Yahoo, not many guys that really strike me as main cash ones. If you're spending up on Yahoo, and that's always a viable strategy in cash, Davis at 58 is a better option than, say, spending up big on Adetokunbo. So I'm happy to do that. But otherwise, there's not a huge amount of value in this one on Yahoo. I think Eddie Davis is worth a tournament look. The Chief is a GPP. Rondo at 24, but then you got Nurkic at 29 and Mirotic at 27, and they don't look spectacular. Mirotic for GPP is fine, but I wouldn't feel overly comfortable with some other great options on the board with using him in cash. All right, let's now have a look at the Aussie sides quickly. And just another quick mention of this. I mentioned it lots of times during the season. Do not play the Moneyball target. Previously, it was the Draft Stars one. Their target is 425. It's a horrible tournament. It's a absolute shit show of you're literally just donating money to Moneyball if you're playing that target contest. Do not play it. It is just a waste of time and money. But over on Moneyball, guys I like for cash and tournaments, Yanni, Johnny Wall, DeMar DeRozan, Lowry, Beal, Jalen Porter, Markeith, Marcus, the Morrises, Henson, the Muppet, that is, and Brogo. And for tournaments, I think Mike Scott, Ibaka, the Chief, Rondo, Middleton, CJ, Horford, Lillard, and Davis are worthy tournament-type guys. Whereas on Draft Stars, a whole bunch of cash guys. Davis, Lillard, Wall, Yanni, DeMar, Kyle, Horford, Rozier, Bledsoe, Jalen, Markeith, Ibaka, Brogdon, and the Muppet. And for tournaments, I like Zachy Collins. I like Eddie Davis. The Polish Hammer, Marcus Morris, the Chief, CJ McCollum. They are all worth looking at over on DraftStars for tournaments. Guys, that's another one of our playoff DFS preview podcasts. We are going to be doing season recap shows, probably start doing those after the draft lottery. Some good stuff. We're going to have Kyle, Matt, and Greg come on and help me guest host those podcasts. Don't forget, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating and review would be excellent. So if you could do that, I would be much appreciative. Find the podcast also on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube, where you can leave a thumbs up and leave a comment and subscribe on YouTube. Hit that big red button, or as many YouTube channels say, just smash that button. You don't have to smash it. You can hit it lightly. Just subscribe. That would be excellent. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and Facebook, and follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Victor Oladipo.